chapter 41, entrance in Mathura. Next paragraph. While Akura was offering his ninth prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, immediately at that time, he disappeared from the vision which Akura was seeing in the water, exactly like an expert dramatic actor changes his dress and appears in his original feature. Akura also, after disappearance of Vishnu Murti within the water, he got out of the water, and after finishing his rest of ritualistic performance, came near the chariot of Rama and Krishna, struck with great wonder. When Akura appeared near the chariot, Krishna inquired from him whether he had seen something wonderful within the water or in the space. And he replied to the inquiry of Krishna. Akura said, "My dear Lord, all wonderful things that are happening within this world, either in the sky or in the water or on the land, they are factually appearing on your universal form. So when I have seen you, what wonderful things I have not seen?" This statement of Akura confirms the Vedic version that one who has known Krishna has known everything, and one who has seen Krishna has seen everything, never mind how much wonderful they may be. My dear Lord, there cannot be any other wonderful thing than your transcendental form. As such, when I have seen your transcendental form, what to speak of seeing other wonderful things? After saying this, Akura immediately started his chariot, and at the end of the day, all of them reached the precincts of Mathura town. And Krishna and Balaram, two sons of Vasudeva, was passing through the way from Vrindavan to Mathura. All passers-by who saw them could not restrain their eyes to withdraw from seeing them over and over again. In the meantime, all other inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Upananda, reached Mathura through forest, and they were just awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram, resting nearby the door in the gardens. Krishna and Balaram, thus reaching at the door of Mathura, got down from the chariot and shook hands with Akura. He informed Akura that he might go home now, because we shall enter into Mathura later on along with our associates. Akura replied, "My dear Lord, I cannot go Mathura alone, leaving you aside. I am your surrender servant. Please do not try to keep me aloof from you. Please therefore come along with me, with your elder brother and cowherd boy's friend, and sanctify my house." "My dear Lord, if you come to my home, it will be sanctified by the dust of your lotus feet, because the water emanating from the perspiration of your lotus feet, namely the Ganges, purifies everyone, everywhere, including the forefathers, the fire god and all other demigods. The king, Bali Maharaj, has become famous simply by washing your lotus feet, and enjoys all material opulences, and later on you are elevated to the highest exalted position of liberation. The Ganges water emanating from your lotus feet not only sanctifies the three worlds, but it is also held on the aid of Lord Shiva, and being sanctified by this water, the whole generation of Bhagirath has achieved the heavenly planet. O the Supreme Lord of all lords, O the Master of the universe, O Supreme Piety, simply by hearing about your transcendental pastime, O the Narayan, who is praised by selected verses, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. On hearing this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, replied, Akula, I shall surely come to your home with my elder brother Balaram after killing all the demons who are envious of the Jodhu dynasty. And in this way, I think I shall be pleasing all my relatives. On this person of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akula became little disappointed, but he could not disregard the order, and therefore he entered Mathura and informed Kamsa about the arrival of Krishna and that he entered in his own home. After departure of Akula, Lord Krishna along with Balaram and Kavha's boy entered Mathura to see the city, and he saw that the gate of Mathura was made of first-class marble, very highly constructed, and the doors were made of pure gold, and he saw that the grain stocking buns were made of copper and brass, surrounded by nice orchards and gardens all around, and the whole city was encircled by canals so that anybody could not enter the city very easily. They saw that all the crossing of the roads were decorated with gold, and there were many houses of rich men, and all the houses appeared to be so much symmetrical as if constructed by one engineer. All the houses were decorated with costly jewels, and each and every house had nice compounds having the trees of fruits and flowers. The corridors and verandas of the house were shaded by nice silk cloth with embroidery work of jewels and pearls. In front of the windows of balcony, there were birds like pigeons and peacocks, moving and quacking in their respective sounds. And all the grain dealers' shops within the city were decorated with different kinds of flowers and garlands, newly grown grass, and flavoring flowers like narcissus and roses. All the entrance doors of the houses were decorated with water pots filled with water, sprinkled all round with water mixed with sugar, pulp of sandalwood and flowers, decorated with burning lamps of different size. Overhead the door, the beams were decorated with fresh leaves of mangoes and silk festoons, and they saw all the doors of the houses were decorated in that way. When the news was spread that Krishna and Balaram with his cowherd's boyfriend are within the Mathura city, all the inhabitants gathered, and the ladies and girls immediately rose up to the roof of the house to see them. They were just awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram with great anxiety. The ladies and women, being too much anxious to see Krishna and Balaram, they could not dress themselves very properly. Some of them placed their clothing in the wrong place some of them anointed their eyes only in one side, and some of them had the bell, ankle bells, only on one leg. Some of them had only earrings, only in one ear. In this way, in great hastiness, they could not decorate properly, and still they came to see Krishna from up of the roof. Some of them were taking their luncheon, but as soon as they heard that Krishna Balaram was in the city, they left their eating and came to the roof. Some of them were in the bath room taking their bath, but finishing half only or without taking a proper bath, they came to see Krishna and Balaram. Some of them, while engaged in feeding their children breast milk, put their babies aside and came to see Krishna and Balaram. Lord Krishna also, while passing very slowly and smiling, immediately stolen their heart, and the husband of Goddess of Fortune began to pass on the street in great speed like the elephant. They are all expecting to see Krishna since a very long time. The women of Mathura, since a very long time, were hearing about Krishna and Balaram and knowing about their uncommon characteristics. They were very much attracted to see them. Now, actually, when they saw Krishna and Balaram passing on the street of Mathura and saw them very sweetly smiling, immediately their joy reached the point of ecstasy. Now, after actually seeing them by their eyes, they took Krishna and Balaram within their heart and began to embrace to the fullest desire. And while doing so, their ecstasy became manifested by standing up the hair on the body, and in this way they became relieved from the distressed condition caused by not seeing Krishna and Balaram since a long time, although they heard of them. As such, all these ladies, after going up on the roof of the palaces of Mathura with their joyful faces and ecstatic attitude, they began to shower flowers from the rope upon Krishna and Balaram. When Krishna and Balaram were passing on the street in this way, all the Brahmins in the neighborhood, they also came out with sandal, water and flowers and respectfully offered them to welcome in the city. All the residents of Mathura city began to talk amongst themselves about the high grade pious activities of the residents of Vrindavan, so that they were able to see Krishna and Balaram daily. Think of the pious activities in their previous life of the cowherd's men in Vrindavan. While Krishna and Balaram was passing in this way, they saw some washerman and dyer of clothing, and he was pleased to ask from him some nice clothing for their use. Lord Krishna frankly asked the washerman to deliver the nicest cloth to him. He also promised that if the washerman would deliver the nicest dyed cloth to him, he would be very much happy, and all auspiciousness will be upon him. Actually, Krishna was neither beggar nor was in need of any clothing. But by this action of his asking a nice cloth from the ocean man, indicated that everyone should be ready to offer to Krishna whatever he wants. That is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Next verse. Unfortunately, this ocean man who was asked by Krishna to deliver to him nice dyed cloth was a servant of Kamsa. Therefore, he could not appreciate the demand of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the effect of bad association. Although he could deliver the clothings immediately to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who promised him all auspiciousity, still, being a servant of Kamsa, the sinful demon, he could not accept the offer. The ocean man, however, instead of being pleased, he was very much angry and refuted the demand, saying, how is that you are asking the clothing which is meant for the king? The ocean man began to instruct Krishna and Balaram, my dear boys, you don't be so much impudent in future by asking things which belong to the king. Otherwise, you will be punished by the government men. They will arrest you and they will punish you and you will be in difficulty. I have got practical experience of this fact that anyone who unlawfully wants to use king's property, they are very much severely punished. On hearing this, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, became very much angry upon the ocean man, and immediately by the upper portion of his hand he separated his head from the trunk and it fallen down on the ground. Lord Krishna in this way confirmed the statement of Brahma Sanhita that every limb of his body is capable of doing anything he likes. Now by his simple hand, he cut off the head of the ocean man as a proof how the Supreme Lord is omnipotent. If he wants to do something, he can do without any extraneous help, just like he cut off the head without the help of a sword. After this ghastly incident, all the employees of the ocean man immediately dispersed, leaving aside the clothing, and Krishna and Balaram took possession all of them. Then Krishna and Balaram dressed them according to their choice, and rest of the clothing were offered to the cowherd's boys, and they also used them as the dessert, and the rest of the clothing remained there without being touched by them, and they began to proceed. In the meantime, there was a devotee, a tailor, who took the opportunity and immediately prepared some nice dresses from the clothing for Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram, thus being very nicely dressed, they looked just like the elephants who are differently dressed with collared clothing on the full moon day or dark moon day. Krishna very much being pleased upon the tailor, he gave him the benediction of Sarupa Mukti. Sarupa Mukti means that after leaving this body, he would be liberated and would attain a body exactly like Narayana with four hands in the Vaikuntha planet. And he also benedicted him that so long he would live, he would have sufficient opulence to enjoy and sense gratification. By this incident, Krishna proved that those who are Krishna conscious devotees, they will be not lacking in their material enjoyment or sense gratification. They would have enough opportunity for such things. But after leaving this body, they would be allowed to enter into the spiritual planets of Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. After thus being nicely dressed, Krishna and Balaram went to a tourist of the name Sudama. And as soon as they reached the precincts of the house of the tourist, immediately, with great devotion, he came out and fell down on his feet to offer his respectful obeisance. After this, the florist offered nice seat to Krishna and Balaram and asked his assistants to bring flowers and betel nuts smeared with pulp of chandan. In this way, the florist welcomed Krishna and Balaram to the greatest satisfaction of the lords. The florist very humbly and submissively offered his prayer to the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, because you have come to my place, I think all my forefathers and all my worshipable superiors are by this action pleased and delivered. My dear Lord, you are the supreme cause of all causes of this cosmic manifestation, but for the benefit of the residents of this earthly planet, you have appeared with your plenary portion. For giving protection to your devotees and annihilating the demons, you are equal friend for all living entities. You are the super soul of all living entities, and you have no discrimination between friend or enemy, and still those who are devotees in Krishna consciousness, to them you are pleased and give them a special result of their devotional activity. Therefore, my Lord, I am praying from you that you can ask me whatever you want me to do, because I am your eternal servant, and if you order me to do something, it will be a great favor upon me." In this way, the florist of the name Sudama was so much pleased within his heart by seeing Krishna and Balaram in his place, and then to his choicest dessert, he made two nice garlands of different flowers and presented them to the Lord. By rendering of this sincere service by the florist, both Krishna and Balaram were very much pleased. Krishna also offered the florist his salutation, and then he offered him all benediction as he is always prepared to bestow upon the surrendered souls. When the florist was offered benediction, he begged from the Lord that he may remain an eternal servant of the Lord in devotional service, and by such service he may do good to all other living creatures. By this incident, it is clear that a devotee of the Lord in Krishna consciousness should not be simply satisfied by his own advancement in devotional service, but such Krishna conscious person must be willing welfare for all others. This nice example was followed by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Therefore, it is stated in their prayer, "Lokanam Hitakarinam." All devotees of the Lord all Vaishnavas, they are not selfish. Whatever benefit they derive from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as benediction, they want to distribute it to all other persons for their benefit, and that is the greatest of all humanitarian activities. Lord Krishna, being satisfied on the floris, not only giving benediction of whatever he wanted, but over and above them, he offered him all material opulences and family prosperity, increase of the duration of life, and whatever are desired within this material world were all offered to him. Next one. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 41st chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Lord Krishna's entrance in Mathura city.